Vande ham Sri Guru Sri Atapati Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutang Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're gathered here to worship Sri Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev means the man-lion form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who many millions of years ago appeared from a pillar and ripped to pieces the demon Hiranyakashipu, who lorded over the whole universe. Not only are we here to worship him, but we are also charged with the responsibility of going out among the German people, in your case, and telling them that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared millions of years ago in a man-lion form from a pillar and ripped to pieces the demon called Hiranyakashipu. It doesn't seem to be a very likely prospect to convince people of this. Of course, we don't do this in the beginning of our preaching. It's not that we say, go up to people and say, Guten Morgen, and by the way, you have to bow down to Nrisimhadev. Oh, by the way, he's also appearing as a stone here. If you want to see God, you can see God. He was like, can you see God? Yes. Can you show me God? Yes. Come here. And there's a stone here. So, sophisticated people, and even not very sophisticated people, probably the farmers around here are not extremely sophisticated, they would tend to write this off as a very primitive belief. It's the kind of thing that we can expect some aboriginal people to maybe adhere to. But how can people in the 21st century in Germany believe such things? And not only believe such things, but base their whole life around it. Okay, don't start leaving and thinking, why did I join this sect? We have, on Srila Prabhupada's order, philosophical classes every morning by which we can understand that this is not only not primitive, but this is the highest, most sophisticated form of theism. We may not start with Nrisimha Leela especially. Just it came to my mind with Ravindra Swarup Prabhu sitting in front of me that he had an experience many years ago when, as a student of theology or something like that in the university, he had already had contact with the devotees of Krishna and already thought that it seems pretty primitive or something like that. And then reading the Sri Yusha Upanishad, which was it Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam or the next one? Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. Describing the Supreme, who is complete and full, and even though all emanations emanate from him, he remains completely full, which is a paraphrase of that. And then Ravindra Swarup Prabhu at that time realized that this is first-class theism. Is that the phrase you used? Yeah. So, actually, those who deny the existence of God, those who are in the long-standing and never-ending sampradaya of Hiranyakashipu, Yeah, he wasn't an innovator, and nor is Richard Dawkins, for that matter. Atheism has a long history. It begins with Krishna Puli Sejiva Nadi Bahimukataiva Mayatari Deya Shongshara Duk. We're all the atheists who forgot Krishna and became, since time immemorial, inimical to Krishna, and that's the reason why we're all suffering in this material world. So the atheists, they generally like to think they're very sophisticated, and this theism is something very foolish. But actually, Srila Prabhupada, he often used to say that even the aborigines in the jungle, they worship some mountain or some lightning or something which seems very great and powerful, and they recognize that there is a power superior to them. So that is a beginning level of God consciousness. But the atheists, they don't want to recognize that anyone is superior to me. That's Hiranyakashipu, right? That was his whole thing. The master of the master of the master, as we just heard. He wanted to defy reality by living or trying to make a position in which he could live forever. And he wanted to defy the reality that he is controlled. So this is another point. When we go out and preach, we don't start talking about Nrsimhadev generally to people who have no knowledge of or interest in such things, or even the piety to begin to accept such things. But as I have analyzed, two main points that Srila Prabhupada consistently, insistently repeated in his general preaching all over the world. Point number one, we are not the body, we are eternal, we are different from matter. And point number two, that we are not independent, we are under control. There are laws that control us, which suggests that there is a supreme controller. So in that sense, the highly sophisticated atheists, or they can say, they're less in their philosophical understanding or their understanding of reality as it is than aborigines in the jungle who don't even have a concept of any such phenomenon as philosophy. But they intuit that there is a power superior to us. So this is their theism, not very sophisticated. But it is a recognition of that which is a fact, that there are powers superior to us. Whereas the sophisticated atheists, they want to use philosophy instead of a search for truth. They want to use it as a justification of what they a priori consider to be truth, even though it isn't. So at the present time in the world, atheism has taken a bold new face. The atheists... Well, it was Christopher Hitchens, rest in peace, not very likely, who decided that it wasn't just enough to be an atheist sitting at home. After 9/11, he became an active anti-theist, and he got together with other atheists and anti-theists, and they're going all around and trying to convince people that belief in God is not only stupid, according to them, but it's actually something very dangerous. It's antisocial to believe in God. This is a great challenge to theists who have taken it up to some extent. But really, as Ravindra Swarup Prabhu realized some 40-odd years ago, the answers are in the Krishna Conscious Movement, in Srila Prabhupada's books. It is undoubtedly beyond the imagination of the average theist, what to speak of atheist, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared many millions of years ago, because according to them, there wasn't life on earth many millions of years ago. According to some of them, that came about, I'm not sure what the present estimation of when life began, what it is. And according to others, it's about 6,000 years ago. But that's the first obstacle in believing in Nrisimhadev. And another obstacle is this whole half-man, half-lion thing, and an atheist who ruled the universe. Maybe we should preach to Richard Dawkins about that. He might like that. You never know. He might at least believe in the Vedic concept. There are many atheists who believe in the Vedic concept, minus Krishna, which is the whole purpose of it all. It's very difficult for them to understand, but for those who are the highest theists, namely you and me, by Prabhupada's mercy, we are on the highest platform of theism. We may not have fully realized it, but to accept Nrisimhadev as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest platform of theism. And practically the very fact that Nrisimhadev is half man and half lion and appeared out of a pillar is more reason for us to accept him than if he had just turned up someday and said, "Hari Bol, I'm God." As in the story of the cobbler and the Brahmin. And the cobbler, he accepted, what is Narayan doing? He's putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. Oh, very good. That must be God. He's not just some ordinary person who, just as one of the present incarnations of God in India, there are quite a few of them, one of them about 20 years ago was sitting in his office, having worked in the Life Insurance Corporation of India for 20 years or so, and he just had a realization that actually I'm God. And Kalki, to be precise. And so he came out of his office and proclaimed that he's God. And after a few run-ins with the police due to his being very intimate with other people's wives and the usual thing that God does, these incarnations, he's going on. And it's not very impressive, but he does have many followers and lots of money. God is not so humdrum that he just appears and he declares himself as such. He has to do something special. Otherwise, what is there about being God? You and I, we can't have a half-man, half-lion form. Maybe the scientists will promise that in future we'll make one by genetic engineering, if anyone wants. They're very confident. But Krishna, he doesn't have to wait for any genetic engineering advances. He just comes as he likes, does what he likes. As for the atheists, he doesn't give a damn. He rips them to pieces as he likes. Or he might, if he likes, in the case of Kaliya, just dance on the hoods and say, "Okay, now you be good." Well, Kaliya had an advantage. His wives were devotees. So it's good. It's good to have a wife who's a devotee. Might save you. You might even get Krishna putting his foot dust on your head. You never know. You have to be a pretty big demon. We don't recommend it. So the atheists, they are challenging. They're saying this is just a bunch of rubbish, all this religion. They have their points which they make. this Richard Dawkins talks of the God of the gaps, which means that when people, before we discovered test tubes and Bunsen burners and sines and cosines and all these kind of things, we didn't really know how the world was going on, so we used to say, well, it's God. Why does the wind blow? Well, God makes it blow. Why does an apple fall from a tree? It's because of God. But gradually, we studied science, and then we understood that there is gravity, and that's why the apple falls from a tree. And that's why most of the matter in the universe is unseen, untouched, unheard of, is dark matter, because we need that to hold our gravitational theories together. It's called science. So now, when we find out all these things, that actually apples fall from the earth because of gravity, you don't need a God. Scientifically speaking, we don't need God anymore, because we have proved that there was a Big Bang, and it all came into being from nothing. Not by chance, not by chance. It just happened, but not by chance. So it all happened, and everything fell into place exactly, even though it's extremely unlikely, we admit that, but the fact that we're here proves that it must have happened like that. It's called the anthropic principle, and has a big name for it. And there's no need for God, because we can explain everything scientifically. So if you believe what the scientists say, then you might be disillusioned at some point if you find that among themselves they don't seem to agree on practically anything except that there's no God. That is not allowed in the halls of science. So we accept, yes, there is a God of the gaps, and there will always be gaps. However much you investigate this, that, and you explain this, and say, oh yeah, now we got it all explained. And then someone looks a little more and says, well, wait a minute, this doesn't seem to quite fit with the theory. must be God. No, it's not God. We'll do some more scientific analysis. And you do more scientific analysis, and you fill up that hole, maybe by presenting some other theory, such as that the universe is mostly filled with dark matter, and you make one theory on top of another, on top of another, but there are always gaps. So, why does the wind blow? Why does the wind blow? Any scientists here? High pressure, low pressure? So when there's low pressure, the wind comes to fill it up, or something like this. But we still say that it's because of Krishna. Are we ignorant or backward? Well, maybe from the scientist's point of view, but sarva karana karanam, everything is ultimately going on because of Krishna, and Krishna has set up the universe that there'll always be things that you don't understand, that you can't explain scientifically. So the God of the gaps, the thing that you'll never know, because you've decided, matiena krishne paratasvatova, you've decided not to know God, therefore you can never see Him. Whereas someone who is not so sophisticated, even without any concept of philosophy, he can begin to understand God. So simplicity, sharalata, that is the entrance into Vaishnavism, to understand that there is power greater than me, far greater than me. However much one may make oneself, or think that he's making himself very powerful, as did Hiranyakashipu, there is a power superior to us which can rip us to pieces at any time. We are completely dependent. We may think we are independent, but we are dependent on his mercy. And we come to a very safe position, as Prahlad Maharaj says, in the service of the servant, then we're very safe, we're protected, just like Prahlad. He didn't fear Nrsimhadev. All the demigods feared Nrsimhadev. Prahlad didn't fear, just like the lion cub doesn't fear the lion. The lion thinks it's very nice. This lion may be very fearful to others, but for me, the lion is my protector, has my best wishes at heart. So, to accept Nrisimha Mahadim Sharanam Prapade, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original lion, man-lion, Nrisimha, we take shelter of, we surrender to him. We take shelter of him. There's the whole process of taking shelter, Sharanagati, the process of taking shelter, knowing that we require to be sheltered. So Nrisimhadeva appears in this very fierce form to give assurance to his devotees that he will protect his devotees. Maybe for some time the devotees will apparently be under the control of atheists, as Prahlad and all the demigods, they were under the control of the atheists. But in due course of time, just like a cat, a lion is a big cat, plays with a mouse. And the mouse thinks I'm free, but at a certain point, the cat just catches the mouse, and then it's finished. As most of you probably know, this temple was established here in what seems a very unlikely location, at the end of a long zigzag journey, if you go by car, which I guess pretty much everyone does. It seems to be a very remote spot, but it was founded here because it was close to the Iron Curtain. It's pretty much as close as you could get, because when this temple was founded, there was preaching was being pioneered in the communist world, and it was a dangerous undertaking. The authorities in the communist world did not want Hare Krishna in the communist world, and they were determined in a similar manner to that of Hiranyakashipu, that no Nrisimhadev here, no Krishna consciousness here. So it was very difficult and dangerous for the devotees practicing Krishna consciousness in the, or what was from this side of the Iron Curtain. We said behind the Iron Curtain. Now, those who are growing up now, for them, it means nothing. It was such a major factor for people in Western Europe and America for most of their lives. During the 1980s, especially, it was expected that any time now, the bombs are going to start dropping. And they're not play bombs, they're nuclear bombs. So it was a very serious consideration to preach behind the Iron Curtain, and for that purpose, Nrisimhadev, the protector of the devotees, that was the idea behind it. Now the Iron Curtain is dismantled, but still this temple's in a strategic location because it's pretty much in the center of Europe. There was Western Europe and Eastern Europe, and it was at the border, but now it's in the middle. So, of course, there might be another curtain going up soon, starting from Ukraine, which isn't so far from here. But it's a good strategic spot to spread Nrisimha's mercy from all over Europe. And we find that devotees are coming from many parts of Europe to here, especially at this festival, so we can pray to Nrisimhadev for his mercy, as we have to spread Krishna consciousness in this extremely materialistic, atheistic, heathenistic age, really Hiranyakashipu, what he lived for, what he stood for, is not that much difference to what's going on in the world today. Although the outright oppression of theists isn't going on as is described at the time of Hiranyakashipu. But we have a great task ahead of us. And Prahlad Maharaj, he gave many teachings. We're often not aware of that. We have dramas of Nrisimha Leela, which are very inspiring and uplifting. But actually, if we examine the whole section of Nrisimha Leela in the seventh canto, we'll find a long section of Prahlad's prayers in which he describes, and the prayers of the various demigods and others, who give what, from our perspective, we could call the philosophical and theistic understanding of how Nrisimhadev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this attack of atheism on theism, we have a lot to say. We have things to say which neither the present theists or atheists have even started to think about in a very concrete way. So really it's a good call for us to be active. Srila Prabhupada often quoted this verse. He quoted this verse, evang janang nipatitam prabhavahi kupe, in a prayer which he wrote on the Jaladuta en route to America. He had left Vrindavan. Who leaves Vrindavan? As people go to Vrindavan in old age. Then why should you leave? Especially, why go to America? Because he had a duty to serve his spiritual master, who had ordered him to preach in English, and Srila Prabhupada took that as an order to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. He didn't downscale the order, he upscaled it. So we also have the order of Srila Prabhupada to continue this movement and defeat this atheistic civilization. So on this day, we can pray. This day, next day, especially, Nrisimha Chaturdashi, to pray for the mercy of Nrisimhadev and of Srila Prabhupada, who prayed in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj to bring the knowledge and the mercy that Srila Prabhupada gave us, and benedict the world, which is undoubtedly, as Srila Prabhupada said, in his darkest hour. Just as an example, you are probably all aware, just a few days ago, an militant outfit in Nigeria kidnapped 200 schoolgirls. I don't think anyone thought you could go so... It was unthought of. 9/11, okay, that was unthought of. But schoolgirls, kidnapping 200 schoolgirls, and the thought is they're going to sell them off? Hare Krishna, the world needs Nrisimhadev. So we're all supposed to bring Nrisimha to the people of the world. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.